By this time, was it pretty obvious that the nature of your work had changed because there wasn't going to be a German invasion after all?
It's very interesting you should say that. I returned to London in September 1941 in order to get a new directive. I said the directive I was given in December 1940, before I first went to Lisbon, is now clearly out of date. He, Hitler, instead of crossing the Pyrenees, he's gone southeast into the Balkans, and he may well, September 42, and later still, he has invaded Russia. And I can't see that there is any merit in my continuing to do in Portugal the things I was told to be ready to do when I first joined SOE. There are more important things to be done in Lisbon. All the North African, the work I'm doing on the North African landings, the work I'm doing with the Allies, and all sorts of other things which may arise in the future. All this is being prejudiced by doing in a neutral country, which is historically our oldest ally, things which may produce results which is hard to predict. And I went to the Foreign Office, I talked to the joint planners who advised the chiefs of staff and these things, and of course I talked to the top people at SOE. And they all said in more or less the same words, well, yes, you can see your point, and you're quite right to raise it. But it's perfectly possible that he may be in Moscow by Christmas. And if he does that, and he's knocked the Soviet out of the war, he'll be back in the peninsula in 1942. And I remember the Foreign Office man I spoke to, one of the most intelligent and very well-known diplomatic figure, Frank Roberts. And he was one, I remember using those very words.
So because of the poor showing of the Russians against the Germans, they still wanted you to continue with your original brief?
Yes, yes. They finish up by saying, so do please go on doing the, carrying out the same directives you were originally given, but be very careful and discreet. I said, what do you think I'm doing now? I can't be more discreet. And sooner or later, anybody doing anything as delicate as this is going to get caught out, and then there's going to be trouble.
You've talked about the way in which SIS helped you with the business of what the Germans were doing.
Yeah.
But what were your relations, generally speaking, with the SIS in Lisbon?
Well, They really were exceptionally good for reasons which themselves are exceptional. When I first went there, the man who was in charge of the whole of their intelligence work in Lisbon, which included the long-range work in Europe. I mean, he was a specialist at double agents, and he used to run agents to Berlin and things like that. Later on, he had really a nervous breakdown, and was succeeded by this other man whose name I just mentioned, Philip Johns, who's still a friend of mine, the other man's dead. Philip is a man in his mid-80s and with a naval background. Before Philip Johns arrived, they decided in London, rightly, on a thing called, which was always known as Section 5, when the security services in London are dealing with, let us say, a given piece of enemy action which is inimical to this country, it really involves both MI5, which deals with home security, and MI6, which deals with overseas intelligence. They were, after all, so if something's going to happen in this kind of country, it affects MI5. If it's going to be done by somebody who comes, let us say, from Germany, it affects MI6. And somebody had the bright idea that there ought to be a joint section, which was always known as Section 5, which was jointly controlled and operated by MI5 and MI6. And the man whom I mentioned earlier, who was an old, very old friend of mine, and to whom I gave this information from Tereschenko, and had this wonderful success with dealing with German double agents. He arrived in sometime, I should think, in the middle of 1941. In other words, the same. He probably arrived 6 months later than I did. I arrived in January, early January 41. He had arrived sometime in the middle of 41, and had this spectacular success. And he was the head of Section 5, and that fact made a great deal of difference. I mean, here was a man whom I had known since, we'd known each other in the country since we were teenagers. And I think I'd known him also to some extent in the city. He was a banker in the city when I was a lawyer. And I'm sure, as sure as I can be, that the fact that he was the man in that position made it possible for me to get MI5 and MI6 to cough up this information, which was about the enemy were doing far worse things in Portugal than I'd ever contemplated. And then, of course, as I said before, the North African landings in November 42, following on the invasion of the Soviet Union and Pearl Harbor, which brought in the two superpowers on our side, made all the difference to a little country like Portugal, seeing that it was now at least possible, and even probable, that we should be on the winning side.
So there was no question that the SIS people thought that what you were doing in Portugal would in any way cause problems for their own work?
That is something which is inevitable, because SOE's job is to do something physical and violent and dangerous to the enemy, and causes a stir-up, which is the last thing that the SIS want. And they want to plant a mole maybe, who in 20 years' time will produce a vital piece of information. The last thing they want is to have some infernal SOE, whatever it's called, and even if it's under the same ministry, which of course Anthony Eden always was. Anthony Eden was one of our worst enemies. And so I think that I probably had as good a relationship with my SIS opposite numbers as anybody in a similar position. By the sheer good luck that an old friend was sent out into this vital job.
You were talking earlier on about this Kazaish. How did you contact him?
It was a two-stage affair. I mentioned earlier about SOE people from Yugoslavia being ordered, when they were finally released, to take on various jobs in the area that I was in, such as Tangier. One of them, Sandy Glenn, was ordered to come to Lisbon and work with me, which he did for about 3 months. And his experience in Yugoslavia was very useful to me, because he'd been in a country for SOE at the time when it was actually invaded, and exactly what I'd been sent to Lisbon to do, though of course it was a much more difficult country than Yugoslavia, which is so mountainous. He was working with me, and I don't think it was the result of any initiative on his part. It was I think it was accidental, but Kazaish somehow, and he got to know Kazaish, and to his tremendous surprise, he was asked by Kazaish whether the British could help him in the way that I described, by providing communications and equipment and so on, which of course he told me, and I told London, and then there came. I was very glad, you see, that somebody other than myself should tackle what was really a contact with the Portuguese government. I didn't want to give away the fact that I was the man at the embassy who did these sort of things. And I knew that Sandy was only going to be there temporarily. And so I was distressed when he got orders from London to go back to London, because he'd also, in the past, he'd been some sort of Arctic explorer, and he was wanted some job in the Arctic.
Did you ever actually meet Salazar?
Yeah.
What impression of the regime in Portugal did you get whilst you were there? Did it seem oppressive?
There is no doubt, to my mind, that it is a dictatorship, however benevolent, is a bad thing. He couldn't have been more benevolent. He was a philosopher. What else was he? A historian, an educationist, a sound finance man, but he was following a totalitarian course, which resulted in his having a secret police, who were really impregnable, and were above the law, and he often didn't know what they were doing. I certainly used to say that must be the case, because he is basically a decent man, and it is believed in London that he is. If he, if he, if he isn't on our side, he's certainly anti-Nazi. And this, I think, is was and is universally accepted. And I was rather sad when he was overthrown, but I knew that it had got to come sooner or later. I should like to add that obviously I was unusually fortunate in my relations with SIS in Lisbon. The good fortune depended on a man coming out there whom I had known since he and I were teenagers in the same part of England. Relations in London and elsewhere were usually a very different affair. Two matters occur to me as worth recording. The former partner of whom I spoke earlier told me at a very early stage that he did not think that MI6 could be a good organization because a relative of his, of whom he had a low character, as regards intelligence, was the chief administrative officer.